1, 2, 5, 1, 2, 0.
What you've just heard isn't just some gibberish. It's something deeper than what you may realize. What you just heard was a number station, a governmental type radio station. Obviously, with an actual station, which is the audio sample. But these number stations exist around the world, even years post Cold War era. Before we continue, welcome to Late Night Rabbits, the podcast that you can fall asleep to, ponder in your thoughts about, stay up all night listening, trying to find an answer to the end of the rabbit hole. If you don't know me yet, for more introduction, I'm your host, Matt. Tonight, we are going to go down the rabbit hole of number stations. Once again, the station that I played through the audio sample was called a VL7 in its ID. It was a Spanish lady. There was no known frequencies. The status of it is active. The emission mode was USB, and it was going to Russia. That's a whole 2 minutes and 20 seconds, but I only played 19 seconds of it. When we think of the whole idea of any secret radio frequency, hearing the possibility of other confidential radio, we don't think it's possible. And why is that? It's because we should think of radio as radio. We think of it as your local radio station, talk show, you know, stuff that you can enjoy. But since radio is dying out due to all these streaming services, it's very possible. And if you go on the higher end of the frequency, you may be able to catch something. And it may not be a number station. You know, it may be police radio, maybe anything other than your normal radio. Now, to go over a little bit more of this history of the sample that I just showed you, the VO07 was first noted as early as 1995, using a male voice. Initially, it was based in Europe with schedules on Monday and Friday starting at 20:00 and Tuesday and Thursday starting at 6 as of 1999. On the 6th of February of 2001, the VO7 ID gained a new female voice, the voice of the sister station EO7 also changed. The emission mode at the time was AM, with the voice pitched up by one semitone and slightly sped up. It was typical for this agency's AM transmissions to be changed until March 2018. This same station still exists. The same USB mode is still being used as of September 2001, where VO7 transmissions were heard from Moscow in another new voice. Now, obviously, I'm not going to give you the history of just one sample. I'm going to show you, in a way, and explain to you why it was important for number stations to exist and what makes them mysterious. Now, there's really no, I don't think, any possible conclusion. Obviously, number stations are used by spies with the one pad system type of thing, and they will be located in a different country at their own residence, spying on the country and transmitting these type of radio frequencies to the country that they're helping. So, once again, that was just a very quick glimpse of what we are looking at today, or I should say tonight. So, governments never really admitted to the existence of number stations, because if they got out, you know, it's kind of blowing the cover. They also operate illegally on frequencies reserved for proper radio, emergency services, or even air traffic control. They transmit from unregistered transmitters, which, because of the nature of radio signals, are hard to locate. When a number station radio transmission is sent out, there's no additional trail, there's no trace that it really ever existed, which is why they are so hard to actually find. It's just a nondescript transmitter somewhere in the countryside, for a short and easier way to explain that. The lack of action against such stations compared to the way pirate radios hounded off the airways, or airways, point to government and military involvement. No, number stations are the type of thing, like I said, of spies. In order to understand a number station and the complexity that it has, you need to know the code. You need to actually not just know the code, you need to memorize the code. You need to know everything about that code. Imagine that you are a spy. The operative writes, you know, the numbers on a scrap of paper. When the transmission ends, the spy opens their book, and it consists of one-time pads, and then you would correct, or turn to the correct day, I should say. So with this pad, you have the ability, and you're the only one that has the ability to find out what that message means. Once again, in order to understand the message, you have to understand the code. Once you understand the message, you have to destroy the key. This definitely occurred in the Cold War, you know, because we were so afraid. And specifically in large European cities because they could move without tripping over the foot of an enemy operative. But a quarter of a century on, once again, like I said earlier, many of them are still in use. Now, in order to further understand this code, I'm going to read you about a guy's father that worked in the CIA in the 1960s and the 1970s. His dad, you know, said that he was operating numbers in a number station in Brazil. So, agents in the field were told to listen to a radio station at specific times. If a specific song was played on that radio station, it indicated that the agent should tune to the number station, and the numbers being broadcast would be an authentic message that needed to be coded. If a second different song was being played, it signaled that there was no message and any numbers being broadcast were meaningless. So, agents in the field would have to set up their shortwave radio receivers and potentially expose themselves to being found with said radios, unless there was an actual message forthcoming. Like I said, the numbers are really complicated. It's something about five-letter encrypts and one-time use pads, where the numbers represented groups of five letters, with some caveats like two A's meaning B and some other letters being transposed on the fly. You had to compose all of this in your memory, and it was by memory for the most part. It was complex stuff. According to this account, he said that one of these days he should do an AMA on it, but he isn't sure doing an AMA on Cold War espionage. That's something that with number stations, it's like a death station, you know? It's something that shouldn't be there, but it is. Now we are going to listen to another segment on this, a B-13 broadcast. B-13 is a Taiwanese number station. So this is how it's going to go, okay? The broadcast introduction is going to play. Then the message procedure for each message is, and then the outro. Now, I'm probably going to play most of this. I might not play all of it, but so you can get the grasp and the context of this number station. Now, what you just heard was a musical introduction. This is a standard introduction. And like I said, two songs mean there wasn't a message coming through. One song, it means that there is. This original segment is 1 minute and 2 seconds long, and I'll play 22 seconds of it. Now, we move from a musical introduction to this is a new star broadcasting station and the program number. Now, I don't understand any Taiwanese language, but, you know, if I had any assumption, it's just going by what is telling me this is a New Star Broadcasting Station, as in she gave out a program number. Now, this third step in a broadcast introduction is preambles of all messages to be sent, all repeated twice. So that was a segment of a 43-second audio clip. Now, there are four steps after this. This is called the message procedure. A message procedure comes with each message. As we move on, it's going to get a preamble, the four digits ID, the group count, and then it's going to repeat the ID. Now, the next part is going to be about four-digit paired groups. Now, as we move on, you know, I'm not going to play the broadcast outro. I really could, but I'm not. So, the next part is a separator and appears every 20 groups as the message exceeds that length. So at the very ending, that was a separator. Now, here comes the postamble, not the preamble, but the postamble, which is a four-digit ID and a group count. And aside from the broadcast outro, that's pretty much what this consists of. Now, the operation of a V13 operates four number programs, number one, number two, number three, number four, each targeting a different part of East Asia. Each program is assigned to fix a two-hour time slot, during which the broadcast is repeated four times in 30-minute intervals. Typically, during the second hour, a different frequency is used, and the broadcasts are irregular, although they are often daily. Now, I could play all of these, you know, I could play an English one, a German one, Slavic, other Morse, you know, we can go through it. But the site that I'm been using, if you want to go check the site out, is called preyom.org, and it's about number stations. So there's obviously not just number stations, there's also military stations. Now, we can go through this, you know, there's the Russian military station, which includes the Russian ground forces, the Russian Air Force, like the Military Transport Aviation, Long Range Aviation, and RIA 4. And then the United States Air Force, which consists of VOICE, ALE, and CyberNet. The other type of diplomatic station, or other type of stations, is diplomatic. So it includes various countries like Bulgaria, Czechia, if I mispronounce that, Egypt, North Korea, Russia, Tunisia, and the U.S. Now, all of these play a part in what a person can hear. diplomatic stations will often have active HF radio networks for foreign ministries. They use them to communicate with their diplomatic missions and vice versa. Now, obviously the military transmissions are pretty simple with the stations. You know, how we can look at one right now, or hear one if it allows us to. So I clicked on just a random link. It gives us a map of where these ground stations are of the Air Force. They HFGCS stands for High Frequency Global Communication System. It is the HF communication system of the United States Air Force. They have 13 ground stations near U.S. air bases around the world, all of which are remotely controlled from the network control station at the Andrews Air Force Base. I'm going to click on this one that is off, but it is, I think it's called UFIT Air Force Base. Let's just try to find on one, I guess. Let's see, I don't want to zoom out, but let's zoom down. So we're just going to go over the voices, you know, really fast. There are four USB frequencies. There's 4724-8992-1175-15016. The ground station call signs are manned cell, which means any ground station, and the network control station uses a one or two word call sign, I mean, that is replaced daily at 0000 UTC. There are individual stations per the base. Like I said, we can, let's go see if West Coast is active really fast. Nope, it just brings me to a Wikipedia page, so we're going to go back. Aircraft call signs, which just gives a partial list. It's reach, or there's two of them, I should say, or so. The first one is reach with three numbers, which means Air Mobility Command Transport Aircraft. Doom has two numbers, Rogue has two numbers, Skull has two numbers, which means Boeing B-52 Stratofortress. And these U.S. military stations has the voice channels that carry two-way communications with aircraft using many different call signs. The main frequency is 11175, which happens during the day, and then during the night, it can be 4724. These aircraft regularly enter and exit the network. To do either, the aircraft usually asks the ground station, which then authenticates the operation by giving a predefined three-letter code and expecting a single letter in return. Less often, though, the aircraft may enter in the blind, giving a two-letter authentication code directly. The ground station pretty much also provides a phone patch service, allowing aircraft to make unclassified calls via the DSN, and phone patchers are usually requested on the main frequency, but then they can move, or they usually are, I should say, moved elsewhere by the ground station to free up the channel. Now I'm going to kind of do a random one. There's really, I don't think there's no audio for this one. There may be audio for Russia, but it kind of gives a transcript of what typically goes on. There's a test count, and these happens multiple times a day and are most commonly associated with chip changes at the network control station, and a typical test count is broadcast as follows. It goes like this. This is call sign with a test count testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is call sign out. Once again, the call sign is whatever they are. And then it occurs with the emergency action message, or EAM. A very common broadcast type which consists of an encrypted string of alphanumeric characters, usually 30 characters long. A typical EAM is broadcast according to the following procedure, which I'm going to read out. There's 9 steps to this. All stations, this is call sign. Step 2 is optionally if a message is addressed to a particular station for call sign, this is repeated thrice. 3, the first 6 characters of the message followed by standby, repeated altogether thrice. 4, message follows alternatively if a message is not 30 characters long, a message of number character follows. Then the message is in full, a person says, I say again, the message is in full. And optionally, if a message is not 30 characters long, this includes a message of number of characters, and this is call sign out, or this is call sign more to follow standby. Now I can do a foxtrot, but I'm not going to. I could also go through all these other options like SIPRNet, which sounds every 3 hours. And then there's the ALE, which I could go into, but like I said, I'm not. Let's go back to military, and let's go to Russia. Now, honestly, I could read Russia, you know, depending on if they are Western military districts or Southern military districts, they change. The Western military districts will often be on a different hertz, or kilohertz, I should say, more specifically, with a lot more names, like the buzzer, demarker, or the goose. For Southern, it can be the pip, the squeaky wheel, or Baron 78. For the actual Russian Air Force, so it can be different. There's such things as military transport aviation, long-range aviation, and the RIA 4. Now, we can go check into this diplomatic station. Once again, these stations are described as the active HF radio networks of foreign ministries. These typically are communicated with their diplomatic missions and vice versa. So we are going to go to North Korea. Okay, I'm going to play this audio for you. I'm not going to play the whole audio, but there is no Enigma ID. The name of this is DPRKARQ. The frequencies is 7 through 25 megahertz. The status is active currently. There is no voice. The emission mode is LSB, semicolon, and BFSK. 600 BD/600 Hertz, and MSK 1200 BT or 600 Hertz. This can be heard worldwide. So let's kind of take a look at this. That was just an 8-second segment, which was a whole audio sample. So, North Korea is a major user of HF radio for their diplomatic communications. Just to give you a glimpse of how important this is to use. And I know I'm just specifically doing one country. But it uses a proprietary ARQ modem to carry out over numerous messages every day to embassies around the world on many shortwave links through an elaborate system of relays. Most North Korean embassies worldwide can be found on the network. And the current modem that has been introduced was in late 2003, and is still presently the only mode used. Previously, before this came in hand, they used handset Morse code and some other different modems, looks like. With the traffic of this North Korean station, the messages sent are almost exclusively five-figure group ciphertext. A small percentage of traffic consists of Korean language clear text, which include official foreign ministry statements, news articles of foreign outlets, which is translated to Korean, and visa applicant contact details. Now I'm not going to read out the five-figure group message that it gives me here, but you know, just to tell you what it's about a little bit. Now let's go back to number stations. You know, we're not going to necessarily talk about these because I did. We can check out English ones, which I'm probably not. But let's go check out this United States one. Is it going to give me anything? No, it's not. But it's just giving me a description of it. It's the EO5 as its ID, and the name of it is the Counting Station, or Cynthia. Right now it is inactive, but it's also located in Virginia, Frankfurt, Germany, and many others. The last EO5 was reported in 2003. It was the American number station. Let's see, is there an active one? Nope, I guess these are all inactive. It looks like maybe United Kingdom. Oh, maybe we have one. I guess this is inactive too. But anyhow, I'm not gonna go and pinpoint anything. Let's see, let's go to other radio stations like these. You know, they're all over the road once again. Let's see, let's go to Morse. You know, Russia uses Morse one, it looks like. I don't know if they're still active. I guess some of them are, like their EO7, which is an Englishman as a voice. Their EXPA or XPA2. There is no voice, it's just a 14-tone MFSK located in Russia. It often goes off Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Friday. It can just switches. I could show you it, but, or not show you it. Have you listened to it? But I probably won't. Let's see here. There's a questionable one somewhere. It's called M11. I guess the location is Slovakia. It's inactive, if I haven't already said that. The frequencies that it had used was 5019. And it could have been heard from every 28 days from Monday to Friday at 900 UTC on 5019 kilohertz. There's even a South Korea one, whether or not that's still active, I don't think it is. But it's M94. There's several other frequencies that they did with it. It was last heard in November of 2013. It was used as a Morse counterpart to V24. The CW hertz, or tone pitch, was 1875 hertz, and the speed was 20 words per minute, which standard five dashes were used for zero. I'm not going to give you the whole entire format for the transmission, but for example, if it was 1017, it's a four-figure ID. In reply, it would be a QRV, which stands for I am ready. And then in order to confirm that they were receiving it perfectly, it would be QRK5. You know, you get the whole transmission kind of from there. But number stations, to get a little bit back on track. It's interesting. It's fascinating. It's mysterious. If you never heard it for the first time and you're just tuning your radio at a certain hertz, like I said, it's typically the higher frequencies. Even if you're, just being bored and doing what you need to with it, then you may find one. But without further ado, thank you for tuning into this episode. I'm hoping these other episodes are going to be longer than this one, but who knows. Once again, thank you for tuning in to Late Night Rabbits. I'm your host, Matt, and see you next time as we go down another rabbit hole.